and speeding bullets.
Brightest day, blackest night.
This is... Hi. Welcome to the book of, like, whatever religion you like. Are you guys having fun at Rhode Island Comic Con? Yeah. I said, are you having fun at Rhode Island Comic Con? Okay. Yeah, can I repeat the question? Anyway, I am Lewis Perry from the Angry Geek Show. Thank you for coming. I have some rules before the panel starts. No live streaming, no video taking unless you work for the con. Okay? Oh, you work for the con, you're fine. I know you. Anyway, without further ado, I'll bring out our guest. How about that? All right. First, we're going to bring out Carrie Jones. Dorian Kingy. Oh my God, he's tall. My Lord. Yeah, you can sit over there. And then the one and only Danny Trejo. Oh my God. Whoa, bigger than that. God, you're so tall. Have a seat, guy. Oh, we need another chair. We need another chair, please. And
there's one behind you.
And another mic. All right. Since this is such a full room, if you have a question, line up now on that wall, please. Just line up over there. Yeah, please silence your cell phones too, so we're not having any weird ringtones go off. And yeah, line any questions. Like, thank you, Alvin. Just line up on that wall if you have any questions. So, guys, how is the convention treating you?
Good. Yeah, no, great. Rhode Island's awesome. It's my first time being here, but you guys are amazing. Love hearing your stories. Love meeting you guys. Thank you so much for coming out. If it was not for you, we would not be here.
All right. And?
Yeah, exactly.
He's got his blaster on his side.
Yeah, well, hopefully I won't have to use it. But yeah, no, this place is really cool. I love the architecture. I got a chance to come in early on Friday and walk around and have some good seafood. So. Oh, hey now. Ah.
You're the man. You could, yeah, go right ahead.
Perfect. Hey, that's CJ and she's getting breakfast. Thank you. I'll see you when you get back. I didn't mean to do that. I called her by accident. Sorry.
Sir, how has the con been for you?
It's been awesome. Rhode Island, I was here 4 years ago.
Yep.
And I didn't remember, but I don't remember what I had. Dinner, you know what I mean? God, it's been great. Yesterday was amazing. I met so many people. I got so many addresses. Friends. I can't say that anymore. I made a lot of friends, and that's like kind of, I love that.
Yeah, he looks at me and he goes, you look familiar. He sees my co-host. Oh, now I know you. Thanks a lot. First question is for you. When they told you you're going to be a part of the Star Wars universe, how did you feel?
I didn't know it at first. You know, my son was the one, Gilbert, he knows everything. And he just kind of said, hey, Dad, you're going to be in he didn't say Star Wars. He said a Boba Fett. That was a cartoon, you know, no, man, Star Wars. And wow, you mean I'm going to be the first Mexican in space? And so, you know, but I got to tell you, man, walking on that set, is like walking into the future of movie making, because it is just so amazing. It was like, you know, like, I don't, nothing impresses me. I mean, just like 78 years old, you've probably seen everything, but it was just like, wow, you know, the green screen moves. It's actually a city going on, you know, and everything is like, okay, whole another town moves in. So it was, you know, and the rain core breathes. I can't believe there's a giant monster. It's like he's breathing. You're waiting for it to get up and walk away. But it's like, it was just amazing.
Carrie, how did you feel?
Same, you know. Being a fan of Star Wars when I was a kid and to be in it, it just blew my mind, you know. And I didn't know specifically what it was because they're just real secretive about it. And, you know, I talked to Robert Rodriguez and he basically just told me I was going to be a Wookiee. I said, all right. I mean, who's going to say no to that?
When you found out which one.
And then when I found out which one, and it was like, and again, you know, I didn't really know, you know, because it was from the comic book line as opposed to the movies, and I didn't really know specifically who he was. And then when I told someone the name, they were like, you know, he's a black Wookiee. I said, really? I said, okay, that's fitting, I guess.
You're like, but do they have those?
I guess they do now, right? I mean, you know, but it was fun, you know, and honestly, just the team of people that were on set and I got to work with, and Robert and Danny, and just everybody started showing up, because I didn't even know Danny was there. I think one day we were on set and I saw him walking up, and I saw Rob. I was like, Danny's in this too? Like, what? No, but it was fun. I think, you know, and again, yeah, just the technology, you know, when you're on the sets and the volume and you know, when you walked in some of the sets, you know, you could see on for miles, you know, so it felt like you were in it, you know. And most days I would get there early and just look around and just take it all in. But it was amazing, and I hope to do it again soon.
Did you go out and buy any of the comic books?
I didn't buy them. They were given to me, you know.
Oh,
I started
lucky
meeting a lot of
SOB.
People, and they were like, well, it was like, oh, you need this? Here. So I just, you know, because I met some of the Marvel people, some of the guys who wrote and did the ink on it, you know, during the process, and they just started mailing me stuff. And I said, all right, and I'd sit down and I literally read every one, you know, to get his history and his backstory and figure out certain things about him. So when I was on set and Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and Robert would say stuff about him, I kind of was up to speed.
All right. Dorian, how'd you feel?
I was so stoked because, I mean, you're just something that you think is unattainable to, and then it actually becomes attainable. That is, you can't really describe that. You know, I grew up on sets. You know, it was in my mom's contract to breastfeed me every 2 hours while she was working. So, you know what I mean? Like, being on set was kind of like a normal thing for me to a point. You know, the circus seems normal, but there's still these, you know, fandom feelings.
Do you want to switch
that
seats?
You have.
Fine.
Because it's like, last time you're intimidating me. I'm sorry.
No, it's Danny Trejo.
Because I feel like I got to keep watching over my shoulder.
Did you check in for knives?
No, not yet. I had to do it last time too.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I actually gave up on trying to be on Star Wars stuff for a while because, you know, I'd been doing stunts and acting since I was like 11 years old, and then I just got to play some really cool characters along the way, and I'd always submit for Star Wars. And I was like, you know what? It's just not going to happen. It's not in the cards for me. And then, sure enough, I got the call mid-2020, June, actually, while the lockdowns were happening. Like, hey, we have a Zoom call coming in from Favreau and Filoni. And I'm like, what? So it was very surreal, and it was at a really crazy time, too. So I'm super stoked, and it's still sinking in, you know?
Okay. The tie-in episode, how did you guys feel about that? Now that's what everyone's basically calling it, right?
From Mando?
Yeah, from Mando.
I mean, I didn't write it.
I know you didn't write it, but I mean, how did you feel about it? And did you watch any of the episodes? Because I know you're like the busiest man around.
If it's not on an airplane, I can't see it. Sorry.
That's an honest answer.
We're in Mexico City last week, and I got home, and then I went to work, and now I'm here. I thought I was. I thought I was going to Chicago, and I was, but I wasn't staying in Chicago. So I just know I don't even watch television. Really, if it's not on a plane, I don't see it.
Okay. No, what I was getting at was, how did you feel about the tie-in episode? I mean, when you finally watched it, did you get the goosebumps that everyone else did?
That's a lovely question. Yes. Well, I think it was what little we know about the entire season of mm-hmm. what we're in, because we'll know about our episodes per se a little bit, or our sequences that we're going to shoot. We don't even know like the long haul, right? Everything mm-hmm. is so secretive that, you know, like you said, he saw Danny be like, you're in this too. Like, you don't know who's going to be in what. So, and our focus on just where do we come into play? Like, are we actually going to be in the sequence that we're supposed to be in? Or am I actually in the episode that they told me I am? Because maybe they changed the numbers on it so that I wouldn't be able to spread, you know, the fact that I'm in the wrong episode. So I think it was awesome. I mean, how they did it, but it was super out of left field for me too, because of how it came about. But I think that's their entire goal, right? Is to just really blend all these characters that we all love so much and just have them overlap each other in this beautiful like web of this, not new universe, but sort of this expanded version that nobody really has expanded at this point. And I think that's what's really cool about how they're deciding to cross over.
Yeah, I was told that by one of your other cast members that's not here. He thought he was filming season 3 or something, but later on he found out he was filming the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah. Same experience. And what they do that because when they label the scripts, they change the labels on them. I thought, same thing. I didn't know it was Boba Fett. Actually, I don't think I knew until I was on set. And before that, I thought it was season 3 as well. Because some of the scripts said season 3, some said season 1. And there was never like a name on it. So I didn't either. They're very good at it. I mean, they're so good at it that sometimes you're there like, okay, what am I doing?
All right, let's get to our first audience question. You want to come over? Yeah. That's all we have from you guys?
Crazy, get up.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, how's it going? My name is Christopher.
That's not what your shirt says.
I was just about to say, Christopher has an A on his shirt. I thought you were going to say my name is Alvin.
I would have lost it, though. Hi, Christopher.
I'm from Rhode Island. I just want to say it's an honor to meet you guys. You guys are all superstars, super legendary actors. You guys are awesome. I grew up watching you in Spy Kids, and then so many classic movies. You guys are super talented with your stunts and everything that you guys do. Big Star Wars fan. One of my questions are for Carrie. I think you had one of, first off, I want to say every time besides Tamara being on screen with the crossovers and stuff, every time each one of you were on screen, I think were probably the best scenes out of the whole show, by far. From Cad Bane's fight to Black Chrysanthemum and to the Rancor training.
Thank you.
Highlights of the show. My favorite scene was when Black Chrysanthemum attacked Boba from the Bacta tank. And that was the first time we got to see an incredible Wookiee fight scene like we've probably never seen before on screen. And as a Chewbacca cosplayer myself, you did the stunts, correct?
I did, yeah.
The ability you did when you were lifting him up and just body slamming the Gamorrean guards and everything, it was just awesome. So. What was it like filming that, and was anything challenging? And is there actually, how many different takes are there of that cut? Like, is there any extra scenes that you might have filmed that didn't make the final cut of the episode?
It all was hard. I mean, you know, the hardest part is that we filmed and there was like that much water on the floor.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm running around grabbing people. So the funny thing about that is, and it became the running joke on set is, you know, I would film scenes with Tim you know, and then stuff that Tim couldn't do, like me throwing him across the floor, then his stunt double would come in, right? So I, you know, me and Tim go at it, and then I cut, and then he goes, does his thing, and then his stunt guy comes out, then we fight. Cut, all right, then they bring back in Tim. But I'm still there, right? And then, and then, you know, then the next actor comes in, you know, Jordan, and you know, he comes in, we do a scene, cut, all right. He goes out, his stunt double comes in. I'm still there. So they all get breaks. So I'm fighting like, you know, so there were doubles for all of them. So I'm basically fighting, you know, nine people over and over again, you know, yeah. So that one was hard for me because, you know, there were moments where I'm like, all right, we got it. Oh, no, we got to get this shot. And there was no wires, there was no nothing. So when I lifted Tim out of that tank, that was me lifting him out of the tank. When I had to bear hug him, that was me holding him in the air. And there was a minute where, you know, your adrenaline's gone and you go at it, and Tim and I were going at it. Like, he hit me in the head for real. I bit his hand for real, you know. And then we're apologizing to each other. Hey, man, sorry we got into it. But it all was challenging. We honestly, surprisingly enough, we shot that over a day and a half. So which is quick for a scene like that. I mean, and, you know, for as many times we had to turn the camera around. Because it was basically me fighting Boba, and then I fought his, you know, his street gang, and then I fought the Gamorrean guards, and then we continued it downstairs, and we kept going. So
it was badass.
So yeah, it was a lot, but it was fun, and I like that kind of thing. I like the challenge of doing my own stunts. I think for me, you know, the worry is to continue my intensity, you know, in terms of, like, if I was to have to then stop and have someone continue it, would they do what I would do, you know, and maybe that's egotistical, but yeah, I love doing that. I love doing my own stunts. I love, you know, that adrenaline. And Robert Rodriguez, he you know, directed all those scenes, all the fight, basically every scene that I was in fight-wise, he directed that, you know, even for the other directors, because he just knows how to do it. And he and I worked together before, you know, and it's just a blast, you know. It's a blast. And J.J. Dashnell was a stunt coordinator, and he was awesome as well. And all the stunt guys that I was throwing around, you know, constantly apologizing to those dudes, because they also was a big part of that as well, you know. But it was a lot. It was a lot, but it was all fun, and it showed on screen.
Did you see different cuts of the scene? Like, were there any other versions of it that took place? Do you know?
There were everything that we did. They showed. I mean, other than the bad stuff, like the parts where, you know, like I said, there was water on the floor, and they were putting some gel on Tim to make him glisten. So every time they did it, it would be on the floor. So it was like running around with, you know, just on a bar of soap. So, you know, there were times where I had to run across the room and I'd slip, you know. Robert was like, hey, are you tired? Like, no, I just skied across the floor. Like, I'm not tired. Like, but other than that, everything that we did, it's in there, yeah.
That's so cool. And how was it to fight, to train with the Rancors and stuff? Like, did you actually see they made like a facade head of one? Did you get to, like?
You know, first of all, let me say that stunt guys make a movie, you know. It's like, you know, when I show up on set, the first thing I tell the director is, hey, I don't jump off a curb. Ask them, stunt guys love me, because, you know, they work. I won't, and because, you know, you have a lot of actors that say, well, I do my own stunts. They're full of doo-doo. I was gonna say that. I said, "Kid, no, they're full of doo-doo," and because you're making a $160 million movie, and your lead wants to do the stunt, it's like the producers will all beat him to death. And they got $160 million invested in this; they can't get him hurt. So,
yeah. Your guys' presence alone was awesome. I'm gonna let the other people take a shot at a question. Yeah. Last thing I just wanna say, can you do your best Wookiee impression? Because this is mine.
Oh my God!
You know what? if you would have let me go first before you asked that question, I would have did it. But I'm not doing it now because I can't do it as good as that.
Just a little. Thank you. Hi, come on up. Oh, be careful. What's your name?
Hi. My name's Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Hi. I really like Book of Boba Fett. I was just wondering, what's your favorite scenes that you guys filmed on Book of Boba Fett?
Dory, you want to go first?
That's a good question. I think my first scene was my most terrifying and most favorite because I was so nervous just because the dialogue and the way that it was constructed, because Cad Bane, he doesn't ever really answer questions. He answers your question with another question. It's kind of like doing Yoda speak. And I just was so, it's challenging to do that because you literally think, like, ask me a question, we can play this tennis game. When you're constantly serving, you know, all the time, it's a really interesting mindset to go around. So I was really nervous, first day, didn't want to mess up. So my entire goal was, I can't screw up my first line. There's no way we're gonna do it. So all night I was practicing till I was super tired, got there, got in the makeup, and me and Tamora were doing our thing, and literally he messed up his first, nothing, it's not like you can't mess up, it's fine, you can mess up, but he messed up his first line and I was just like, yes! I'm good now, I can screw up, because I'm the new kid on the block, right? Trying to do this other thing, and it wasn't big, like he just, one little word, and no big deal, like you go back to one, but you don't want to be that guy to be like, oh, why'd we hire this guy? You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was, to me, it was the most gratifying and fun moment, and then we kicked off, and I was like, all right, cool, now I can do this, let's make it happen. Yeah.
Awesome.
First off, did you make your costume?
I did.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
That's awesome. It reminds me of when I was a kid, I would, you know, my mom would bring home boxes from you know, her company, and I would cut them up and make my own costume. So
awesome.
And yours is better than what I ever made. Mine didn't look so good, so. Anyways, I had to compliment you on that. I would say same. I think it was the first day that you know, I was on set, and it was when the Hutt twins came out, and then I was kind of walking out, and it was kind of the first time, you know, Boba and I square off. And reason being is because, honestly, it's because I saw everyone's faces when I walked on set, and it was this sort of gaze of amazement of like, oh my God, and then everybody whispering behind me like, you see? Because a lot of times they don't know. They're very secretive, like, you know, a lot of the crew don't know. You know, so there was quite a bit of people that had no idea that I was going to be there, and the director Steph Green, like she was awesome, and she shot that first episode when I came out, and then her thing was like, this is the first time everyone's going to see you. We want it really heroic. We want to kind of make it to where, you know, it's obscure until we show you front on, and then we want everybody to cheer and be like, oh my God, which seems to be the reaction that she wanted, but that would be for me. It would be that first moment that he kind of walks in, because the first time that the audience sees it is the first time that literally on the day we shot it was the first time anyone other than, like, you know, the main people like Dave and John and Robert saw it, and their amazement was for real. You know, even the extras that were carrying the huts, who, poor guys, I mean, they were tortured. They actually were literally holding that thing, and it was a big platform that they made, but they had to carry that thing, and I'm walking out, and they're struggling, and then I just saw a couple of them see me walk around on the take, and out of the corner of my eye, they would just go, what? And just see me walk through, and then one of the 80s had to walk over, and you're like, don't let go of the pole, and he was like, but did you see, like, you know, we were rolling, just so. But anyways, that was it for me.
Wow, it's awesome.
My first day, I walked on there. I was like, wow, it's for everything. And then when I saw the rain core, I mean, it was like I was waiting for it to get up and walk away. I was like, breathing, and, you know, and sweats. It's like unreal, and it kind of like makes this weird raincore noise, you know, but I said, hey, Robert, you know, because Robert, I've done 13 movies with him, and I just like what's going on here? Well, check this. And he's like a kid. You're like, look at this. You ain't seen this. And then he's, you know, like, I just left, they just gave, my flip phone just blew up. So they gave me these, you know, and he's telling me about all this technology, right? And I don't use a computer. my assistant, you know, does all that. And it's like, I couldn't believe it. I said, Robert, you're talking gibberish. Oh, wait, you'll see it, you'll see it. And it was just an amazing, I'm telling you, it's like, I know everybody appreciates the movie, but the technology behind what's going on is amazing. It's like, we're like in the future. You know, when you watch that, you're watching the future. And it's like really, kind of just blew my mind the whole day.
Wow.
What was your name again?
Emma.
Emma. A question that we here at the Angry Geeks always ask any ensemble cast is, when someone like Emma comes up and they make a cosplay, and if it's a character that you portray, how does that make you feel? Let's start with Carrie Gordorian.
So the interesting thing is that I have actually not run into anyone cosplaying Kersanthan yet.
Okay.
I've seen Wookiees, but I've done a ton of these, and I've not seen anyone cosplay Kersanthan yet. So if there are some, come up.
They're out there.
They are? Okay. Okay.
Dorian?
That's awesome. I think I saw my first person that did it in London. Right, Daisy? Yeah. We were in London at a convention over there, and then the staff was like, hey, there's a guy coming, and he's you. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, you'll see it. I'm like, oh, that was so cool. And he literally, it's weird because it's this detachment still, you know? Like, you go on set, you do your thing, you go home, but, you know, you do research and try to make a good product. But you still look at them, and, like, we see you, and you're like, that's cool. And they're like, oh, right, I did that. Right. You know, it doesn't feel, because, you know, you're every day we're human, you know? We're not Kersanthan on a daily basis, or Cad Bane, or you know what I mean? We're just normal human beings. So it does, until somebody does come up and be like, thank you for being the character, and you did so awesome, and that's why I made this and that, and I go, oh, that's cool. That interaction is what, you know, makes this circle go round. You know, that's why I like conventions, because I was nervous to do them in the first place because I had never done them before. I'm like, I don't know what to do. They're like, just talk to people and tell them how you did or what do they like. And I'm like, that's cool. I can do that. So, but at the same time, you just really get that, you know, that experience of, you know, either giving appreciation or, you know, being able to ask or answer the questions that, you know, we've never been able to ask or answer from that exact person. That's a really beautiful experience. But I think I still have this kind of appreciation for sure, but this detachment of like that being me.
Okay.
You know?
Cool. We've seen people dressed up as you before. How did that make you feel?
I think one of the things that blew me away, I was just like, so overwhelmed, is when we did Machete, and then the next Halloween, I started seeing all these little kids dressed as Machete. God, man, 5-year-olds would show up at my door and they'd like, have this. Some of them, you can tell they painted their own mustache. But you open the door and they go, and I think that was like just when that, when like, when kids start doing it, it might be selfish because you realize, boy, I got a fan for years now. And it's like when people come up and say, well, we loved you in Machete, you know that they, or Spy Kids, you know that they kind of like, for a while, watched all the PG stuff, and then now they can watch the R stuff. You know? So it's like, it's amazing, man. I think it's such a complimenter for somebody to like, you know, to like imitate. What do they say? Imitation is the
sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah, yeah. They say something, but. I think that is like the coolest. You know, when you see somebody dressed like the way you were, the way you, what you did, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emma.
You know, I made the joke I made the joke. You want to come up? I made the joke earlier that it was intimidating sitting next to him, which it is. But every time he moves, all I hear is leather from his blaster. And I'm like, I think he's going to shoot me. It's so funny. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, gentlemen. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
As much as I love Star Wars and I love all you guys, my question isn't Star Wars related. So it's actually just for Mr. Trejo. Are we ever going to get a Trejo's Tacos on the East Coast? Like,
yes.
I'm waiting to try the Jackfruit Tacos.
We had that question 3 years ago.
I'm dying for them.
I'm making a deal right now with Live Nations, and I think what we're going to do is in Detroit, we're going to put a venue, a restaurant, but it's going to be a venue
pop-up
like the House of Blues.
I travel for pop-up food. I'll do it, man. Just tell me when and where, and I'll be
Detroit
there.
Detroit is not helping us here.
Well, we're getting closer.
In the opposite, no.
We'll take it. We're
I just
close.
Flew
we're
in from Chicago. But what we're trying to do is do a restaurant, but like the House of Blues with a venue attached to it. So
cool.
And, awesome. I think that's good.
You know how I'm on a diet.
Yes, we'll be.
And I was trying not to talk about his restaurant at all.
The best option,
okay, you know? Next question. Come on. Hi, Nick. What's your name?
My name is Jeff. How's it going, everyone?
Hi, no food.
No food.
Okay, Star Wars only.
Star Wars only?
Okay, yes. No, I'm kidding.
Ooh, okay. So, actually, my question isn't Star Wars only, but it is about all of you individually. There was a point in time in the late 90s, early 2000s, I don't think I watched a movie that Danny wasn't in.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, and I am a huge Star Wars fan, but my question is actually from each of you, is there a moment in your life, a set that you're on, a time that you got to work with someone that was really, like, just had a really big impact on you and sticks out as a really great memory? Because I know a bunch of you worked with a lot of different folks over the years.
I got to meet Steven Spielberg on the second Jurassic Park, and my dad was working on it as well because he was one of, like, the mercenary guys that were capturing all the dinosaurs and stuff. And I got a part that ended up being in the extended version. I just had to ride a water buffalo in the background. It wasn't anything major. But I was like,
that's
Steven Spielberg. And I was like 15, and I'm taller than him. It was really funny, but I was so stoked. But then they said, hey, because this was just on a open set where it was supposed to be like a courtyard with all these people and like a farmer's market type thing. And they said, hey, if you want to go check out the T-Rex, it's in stage such and such. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, nobody's filming in there. I was like, okay, cool. So on my lunch, like, I went over there by myself, and it was where the double T-Rexes come out and attack the Winnebago, right? And the lighting was like dim. It's kind of like, it's a movie moment, right? Like, one of the stage doors is open, all the other ones are closed. You have just enough light to come in, and these things are massive. Like, they're so tall. And I'm just walking up to it going like this. And the dad to make sure it's not gonna get me because it looks so flipping real.
Yeah.
Like, it was massive. It was so cool. And I was like, this is movie magic right here. Like, this, imagine this thing coming out on a track through bushes with the sound probably and all that stuff. And I was like, I probably wouldn't have to act very well. just scream and run the other way. But that was just such a surreal moment too, of like being a part of that, like knowing you're like in the lot. And I mean, hearing backstories of Steven Spielberg, he would like sneak his way onto the lot.
Yeah.
Too, like his backstory is amazing as well. So just being kind of a part of that nucleus and just seeing a proper set that just was a part of your childhood and continues to be a part of it, that was really cool for me.
That's awesome. Great story.
You want to go?
You know what? Honestly, I mean, every moment that I have with any project that I've done is life-changing. They all are, for every time. And everybody that I meet I've taken a piece of, because I've been doing this for quite some time. And ever since the first project up till now, when I meet someone, it's life changing because I'm more of a fly on the wall when I meet people. I just try to figure out, what are they doing and how do they do it so that I can do it and, sort of a thing. So it's everyone, and I've met a ton of people, so you know, when I met Robert, like the first time that I met Robert was on the second Spy Kids. I worked on shows before that, but the first time I physically was on a set that he was on, and the ability for him to not only explain himself to other people so they get it and they know what he's thinking, but he knows what he's thinking instantly. You know, he walks on and he sees it, and he's inclusive. Mm-hmm. He makes you a part of it, you know, and he gets through it. You know, there's no delay. There's no, like, you know, a lot of sets you go to, it's like you get there, you're, you know, mostly everybody's like, oh, what are we doing today? I don't know. You know, you sit there, you're staring at a, you know, a set until the word comes down as to what you're going to do and where the shots are. But he's really quick. And I was always impressed by that. You know, I was always impressed by how prepared he is and how much he knows the beginning and the end of everything he's going to do. And, you know, and I work with Steven Spielberg again as well. And for him, it was more of his, in Jurassic Park 3, for him, it was more of his ideas are huge, you know, and everything that he thinks of is larger than life. And he never thinks about how it can be done. He always thinks about, you know, the idea, which is how I think everybody should think. You know, a lot of times people bog themselves down at the how you can do it, as opposed to just, you know, thinking of that idea and then and doing that after. So every single person I work with, I've taken something from, you know. Like Danny, like the thing that I'm impressed about him is the scope of work, man. I don't think I've ever met anyone that has had, and I'm like, how do you keep going, brother? Like,
yeah, I wasn't kidding, that's like, 90s.
And that's the other thing. Like, I see that. And it's just impressive, you know, in terms of just being able to manage that, being able to keep going and keep that energy. You know, every time I see you, man, it's like you got that energy, man. It's like, so yeah, I mean, it's like I'm impressed by everybody. I'm impressed by everyone.
I sleep on planes.
Exactly. Sleeps on planes, yeah.
You know what? I love what he said. It's like every movie I've done, I can take something away from everybody I meet, and I make it a point to try to make every situation I'm in better when I leave. Whatever it is, I don't care. That's kind of what. It's funny because I was going to see my ex-wife, and this friend of mine, Jerry, said, "Hey, just make sure you leave the situation better." And I said, how in the hell you do that with an ex-wife? But I gave her back a couple of diamonds I'd take from her. You know? Started making it better. Right? But you know what it's, and it's like I, you know, God's blessed me, man. I get to love what I do and do what I love, you know, I don't know where I get the energy. I mean, I'm 78 years old. It's like most of the guys I know are you know, like walking slow. But I love going from spot to spot, you know. I think one of the biggest days of my life, when I worked with Robert Rodriguez, and we're doing Machete. And my kids were there, and he put them both in the movies. I have three kids, one of them wasn't there. But he put, Danielle was the mechanic, my son was the artist. And the reason he put my son in, right? My son's a dresser. You know, he loves to just dress for like, come on, it's Tuesday, you know? And he just shows up just looking cool. And Robert said, like the way you dress, you know, this is what I want you to do in this movie, you know? And so my daughter gave him a dirty look. Oh, you can be the mechanic. So she's in the movie too, you know? And my son would just, I would watch him. He would just watch everything Robert Rodriguez did, everything. And he'd ask him questions, and Robert loves explaining or telling you what he's, if you ask, he won't say nothing if you don't, but if you ask, he'll like literally in depth. My son just got into the DGA, and I said, where did you study? And he'll go, I shadowed Robert Rodriguez. That's literally where he studied, you know what I mean? And I mean, he's starting to do a whole bunch. So it's like, I think that's turning points in your life. People turn points in your life.
Yeah.
I think that was one in my life.
Cool. Well, thank you, everybody. You look great for 78, by the way.
All right, we have two people standing in line for questions, and we only have no time left. Oh, so
we can go two.
All right, you know what? I'm not gonna argue with you. I did that once before. Come on up. I did that once before. I ain't doing it again. No way.
You want to live to tell the tale?
I barely survived. What, 3 years ago? Yeah, no, yeah. Go ahead.
All right, so the question I just have to ask is, how does it feel to be part of the Star Wars universe? When you think about, like, I have a buddy of mine who has a snake named Lando Calrissian, and he's taking that snake to get blessed, and the priest was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, he's excited he got to say Lando Calrissian at work. Like, how does it feel to be part of this universe that seems to transcend generations, it transcends borders? Like, what does that mean to you?
I think you said it. I mean, it's amazing. It's like we were blessed to get into a situation that has gone on like for a long time and it's not ending, you know? So I think it's just been a blessing for me.
Yeah, 100% what Danny said, and you said it, but Lando Calrissian is quite clever, I have to say. Time, that's what I've been thinking about. That's very, very, very clever. But yeah, I mean, you know, one of the first movies is I grew up poor in the projects, and one of the first movies that I actually saw that we could afford to see was Empire in the theater. And it, you know, and then to be a part of it now, I mean, that's multi-generational, you know, and there's not very few, if any, franchises that have that impact. So yeah, I mean, it's you know, and honestly, it's so impressive. It hasn't quite sunk in. You know, people look at me and say, "Hey, you're in Star Wars." I say, "I am. Well, I guess I am." You know, so I think I take it with more humility than anything. I kind of try to downplay it because it's still up here for me, even though I'm part of it. It's still pretty amazing feeling. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. All of what they said too, because it's you are building. You're being a building block for this continued tree of life that is forever growing, and it's still outgrowing itself. Is hopefully you just are a good building block to be continued to add to it. That way it doesn't get crushed in the middle of it. I don't know.
Yeah. What was your name, quick?
Jessica.
Jessica. Thank you, Jessica. All right.
Hello, guys. Thank you for all your work and your time for coming out here. My question is, a character that you may have wanted to do or you may be looking for when it comes out that you would jump on in a second. What's a character that sticks out to you that you would love to do?
I want to be a predator.
I mean, all the ones that I've ever wanted to do, I've actually done, with the exception of, technically I did, Alien, which I did work on an Alien film, and I was an Alien, but it got cut.
Oh.
But so I did it, technically, I did it. So, but yeah, you know, I honestly, if I'm being honest, this is my honest answer, I'll take the work when it comes. So that's the honest answer, you know. I mean, I can sit here and be specific, but if someone says, "Hey, you know, we're gonna remake Pumpkinhead," I'm done being Pumpkinhead. it wasn't yes. On the list, but you know, I'll do it.
Yeah, give me what you got. Did the check clear? I'll play a tree if you want me to, which is, you know, put fruit on it and it's more money. I mean, it's a job that I love. So, you know, I'm like a house painter, you know. Well, let's do this one fuchsia. No, the owner wants it red. You know, but I just love the work, you know. And I think there's a film that was a long time ago, right? And it was called Viva Zapata. And Zapata was like a real Mexican hero. Mm-hmm. Pancho Villa was the hero in the north, and Zapata was the hero in the south. Great movie. Only thing, Zapata was very, very, very Mexican. And Marlon Brando played him. Now, Marlon Brando's a great actor, don't get me wrong, he's an awesome actor, but they really screwed stuff up. No way, because the first t-shirts, because like the 60s, Chicanismo really started, where people started really like looking at their roots and stuff, looking at their stuff. And the t-shirts that came out, the first ones had Marlon Brando's picture on them. Wait a minute, that's not Zapata. So they recall those and got him. So I think I would like to make some of those movies that were done, you know, with like the wrong ethnic. I don't know if that's correct.
Well, there's one scene you do that has burned into my brain, and I think it was amazing, and your response to it when Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Johnny Depp was just looking at, he puts on his sunglasses and says, "Are you a Mexican? Are you a Mexican?" And you're like,
let me tell you something about that. Robert Rodriguez, he's sitting there staring at me and Johnny Depp. I'm watching him. I go, well, what the hell is he looking at? And then he goes, and then he hands him the, okay, let's do this. And that's when he got that idea. You know, just right there, you know, Mexican or a Mexican. And that was like iconic, right? Same thing when he did Machete Don't Text. I was trying to get a hold of him at Comic-Con in San Diego. And I said, why don't you answer your damn phone? He says, Danny, every time you call me, I'm in a meeting or I'm talking to you. And he says, text me. So I just said, Machete Don't Text. The script was, I want credit, right?
Make sure you go down to each one of these gentlemen's table, get a picture, get an autograph, and thank Rhode Island Comic Con for a good time. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Rocky Balboa.
Are you ready?